Everyone, welcome to the Light Room. I am delighted to be hosting another episode this weekend. I'm sorry that there was no episode last week. So many things happened and I'm just to a part of it. So if you don't know already, or you don't follow me on social media, or you don't know me outside of this platform, my husband and I planted a church in Lagos State, Bagada. Yes, so it was an exciting past weekend, and I'm grateful to God for it. I'm grateful to God for some of you that were there at the inaugural service, and I'm just so excited for this phase of our lives. So it was a crazy week for me, and that's why I wasn't able to put out, or one of the reasons why I wasn't able to put out this episode last week. But don't worry, you get the gist and all the juices you missed last week today. So if you're a returning subscriber, I deeply appreciate you. Like, it's not like I don't appreciate you if you have not subscribed. But yes, I deeply appreciate you if you have already subscribed. And if you have not already, please subscribe and hit the notification bell so you don't miss any of my videos going forward. This is the last video in the series, Is It a Sin To? At least the last video for now. It's been an exciting series even for me, because some of the questions that I have answered here, I had to go through like personal reflections to even talk about it. So I'm grateful to God for the series so far. I'm grateful for every comment, every feedback I have received from you guys concerning this series. After my last video on polygamy last 2 weeks, someone reached out to ask, she's a light bearer, she follows this channel very closely. She reached out to ask, should Christians marry into other religions? She just really wants to know the whole scope of that question. And it's a very relevant question in this day and age for many reasons. For different people, they walk into relationships like this for a range of reasons. For instance, they love this person, or they have been in families where interreligious marriages were allowed or common. So different people have different reasons why they walk into relationships like this. But I'm answering this question from the perspective of a Christian following the word of God, right? So let's get into it. I will try to address this topic in two major perspectives. One, the perspective of someone who is in the dating phase. So you've not gotten married yet. You're either dating or looking to date. And also from the person who has gotten married. So I will not get ahead of myself. Let me just start from the beginning. Even before we get into the perspectives, it's important for you to know what the Word of God says about this thing. If you follow this series closely, you would realize that there are some topics I've addressed that do not have direct yes or no answers. Like, for instance, is smoking a sin? There is no place in Scripture that says, do not smoke weed. But we have underlying principles that helps us answer questions like that. But in this case, we have clear examples from Scripture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament about interreligious marriages. And I'll give you one example from the Old Testament. The example of Abraham sending his servant to look for a wife for his son Isaac. And when he was sending his servant, he made his servant swear not to look for a wife for his son from any of the neighboring towns that served pagan gods, but the servant should go to where Abraham was from and look for a wife for his son Isaac. And he did this. He found Rebecca, and we all know the story from there. But we see clearly that it was important to Abraham, father of faith, that his son married within the Israelite group, people that served God at the time. And it's very important. And we also see the repercussion of people in Scripture that did not follow this. For instance, the golden example, Solomon, who had 300 wives and 700 concubines. For the life of me, I don't think he knew all their names. There are different reasons he married them, political reasons, pleasure reasons. We talked about this in our previous, I talked about this in my previous episode. But we see clearly that he erected gods and shrines for his wife's gods, and eventually he was led away from the Lord. So we see that example in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 6, Apostle Paul puts it very clearly that believers should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And in this context, he was referring to a marriage relationship. Going further down, he goes on to give instructions and perspectives for people who were already married but to unbelievers. And I will get to that in a bit. But let's start with tackling this question from a dating phase perspective. First of all, one of the reasons this question is difficult to answer is because when it comes to love or matters of the heart, people can just be interesting. We all can be interesting. Have you ever tried to mediate between a couple? Maybe your friend is fighting with her boyfriend, or your male friend is fighting with his girlfriend, and you try to mediate between them, or sometimes even advise. Maybe they're not good for each other, and you advise that you guys should just break up, or you guys should do A or do B, and then they get back together after their fight, and bam, you become the topic of discussion. Because love is just that way, you know. When our emotions get involved, many times we don't get to be objective anymore. Sometimes we don't even make decisions that are right for us. That's why you see many people in toxic relationships. You can tell from a mile away, from a thousand miles away, that this person is dating a walking red flag. But the person sometimes knows and doesn't want to do anything about it because, well, he cares for me. I don't know any other person that will love me like this. First, that's not true. And even if you don't find any other person, it's better for you to be sane in the will of God with a sound mind than to be dating a toxic person. But that's not the topic for today. My crux is emotions can really blur our sense of judgment many times. So I'm just putting that as a disclaimer here. In case you are single and you're already dating, you're a single Christian and you're already dating someone from a different religion, you may be listening to this video half-heartedly. But I just trust the Holy Ghost in you to be able to work on your heart with what you are hearing, either as a seed or as a confirmation. So even after this video, you may still not change your mind or do anything differently. This video may help you in years to come. This video may help you right now, today. But I just pray that the Holy Ghost works on your heart and stirs up your desires in the right direction. Now, we've seen what the Word of God says about intermarriage. Pragmatically, I will just tell you this. I've not been married for 100 years, but just yesterday, it's been 3 years and a month since my husband and I had been together as a couple. And I was just thinking about the many things that have changed in our lives since we started dating till now. A lot of things. A whole lot of things have changed. We've lived in different countries. We've been through different phases in our lives, sickness, health. Like, literally, we've been through so much together. And there are many times that what kept us going was the anchor of a shared faith that we have. So there are times where maybe we are not, I won't say we're not on best on terms, but times where things are not necessarily the easiest for us. We can run on the fruits of the Spirit because in all situations, chisom is supposed to be patient. Chisom is supposed to be kind. Chisom is supposed to be loving. Chisom is supposed to be full of joy. Why? Because chisom has the Holy Ghost in her. And it tempers my behavior to my husband, even on days where I don't feel like being the best wife or the trophy wife or things like that. The fact that we are believers and we have that shared front, it's easy for me to hold him accountable, and it's easy for him to hold me accountable. He could say, babe, I don't think you've been very patient lately. Can we pray about it together? Can we walk towards it together? Babe, I think there is an opportunity area for you in your love walk. Can we pray about it together? And we can do that for each other because there is common ground shared. And even with that common ground, there are still difficult days. There are still very difficult days sometimes. And let me just tell you, you want to be intimate with your partner on every front, not just physically. Physical intimacy is not the only form of intimacy that should exist between you and your partner. You want to be intimate with your partner on every level, including your faith. if you would be a fervent Christian, there's an amount of numbing you have to do to your heart to be comfortable making a decision to spend the rest of your life with someone that does not share that faith. As believers, we believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. We believe that Jesus was given to us. He came to this earth. He died at the death that we're supposed to die. He took the punishment for our sins upon himself. And he was raised on the third day. And everyone who believes in him would not perish, but will receive eternal life. If you truly believe that, if you truly believe that Jesus is the only way, and out of love, you share that message with everyone around you, it questions your love walk, one, and your conviction, two, if you choose to settle down with someone that does not share that faith. Because it's like you saying that, I believe that Jesus is the only way to be to the Father, or I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you don't believe it. And, well, you may not get eternal life, but it's fine. Let's just spend our life together here and enjoy ourselves. And then, I don't know, who knows about our eternities. That's kind of how you are playing out that decision. Except you now want to go on saying things like, oh, but I don't believe Jesus is the only way to the Father. Then we are opening a can of worms to a whole different conversation, which we may not even be able to finish in this video. But let's start from here. As a fervent believer, there is a significant amount of numbing that you would have to do to your heart to be comfortable walking into a decision to marry someone from a different religion, someone that does not believe, importantly, what you believe about the gospel. There's a significant amount of numbing you have to do to your heart, which is not healthy, one, for your convictions, and in the long run, it's not God's perfect will for you. If you can hear barking in the background, I don't know, we have these dogs in our neighborhood. I don't know whether these dogs... Sometimes I feel like these dogs are possessed, is putting it strongly, but they bark at the wrongest times. So I just hope that they don't keep barking. And if you hear them, I'm very sorry. Don't be angry. I love dogs too, but sometimes these dogs... Anyway, moving forward. Now, if you are married to somebody already, let's say you were not a believer before and then you become a believer after getting married, but you're already married to somebody that does not believe in Jesus, we see in scripture where Paul admonishes that by your character and by your faith in the Lord Jesus, you draw them to the Lord. And it's an admonition in scripture, but it's not as simple as it looks or as simple as it sounds, because this is an entire person's perspective. Probably this person walks into this religion from their infancy or from their childhood, like they were born into a family with this religion. And it would not be so easy for maybe a couple of weeks of your good character, quote unquote, and of you showing your faith for that person to change, right? I'm saying this because I've spoken with a number of married people that are in this exact situation. The last one I spoke to was a Christian woman who is not married to a Christian. And she was just telling me how difficult it can get sometimes. Like now, thankfully, her husband allows her to come to church and doesn't make a fuss about it anymore. But it's just so difficult that there are some things that are so intricate to her, so intimate to her, that she can't share with her husband because they don't share the same faith. And also with her belief in Jesus and her husband not believing the same thing, it cuts in a different way. So, but it's not impossible. One, because there is nobody beyond God's ability to touch or reach. Now, I'm talking to if you're already married, because I would not advise you getting a divorce in that case. I would first advise you to seek counsel, right? It's not something that this video will just blanket answer, right? It's unique for different people in different situations. So I would advise you to seek counsel from your pastor, your spiritual leader, and let them walk you through this phase, because it can get lonely doing it on your own. Secondly, I would genuinely not advise you to take a divorce. There is no one beyond God's power to reach. So I advise you to pray for your spouse. If you married a teachable spouse, your spouse should be open to conversations. They may not change their mind just yet, but they should be open to conversations with you, and you as well. You should be open to conversations with them, Because while you believe what you believe and you believe that the gospel is true, it is living, it is the way to the Lord, the truth is not scared of questions. So if your partner does not believe what you believe, open the ground for them to ask you questions and do your best to study to know the answer to those questions, not because you're trying to be a pastor or an apologist, but because you should be able to defend what you believe as a Christian. So be open to conversations with your spouse. Be open to debates even about this thing. Talk to your spouse about this. Why don't you believe in Jesus? Okay, I have ABCD proof of the resurrection of Lord Jesus. And if Jesus died and he was raised on the third day and he's truly coming back for us, then there is a serious implication if you don't believe in Jesus. So why don't you believe in Jesus? Let's discuss. That person brings their own points. You counter and back and forth like that. First of all, it's healthy to have those kind of difficult discussions with your spouse, because there is no point you not believing something and because you don't want to offend, quote unquote, your partner, you never talk about it. The goal in having that conversation is not to offend your partner, but to get your partner to see your perspective and where you're coming from, especially on this important discussion, and also give you an avenue to share your faith with that person, give you an avenue to hear that person's doubts and questions. Because sometimes it's not even a problem of interreligious marriages. Now it's a problem of both of you being believers, but one person is more fervent than the other. So there's already a problem there. Maybe the fervent one decides to wake up to pray and your partner is just instantly irritated that you left them on the bed to go and pray, or your prayer is disturbing them or something like that. Or you cannot even suggest spiritual activities with your partner. You can't suggest, oh, let's go for this camp meeting. Let's have this prayer together. Let's have Bible study together. Like, it does another level of numbing to you and your spiritual work that this person you've decided to share your life with is not in tandem with you in that regard. So it can get very difficult as well. And if you're already married, in that regard, it's the same thing I would advise. Seek counsel. Be open to conversations with your spouse and pray for your spouse. It goes a whole long way. But if you are not married, you have the golden opportunity to write your own life decisions. You don't want to say things like, oh, it worked for ABC XYZ couple. You're not ABC or XYZ couple. And when you know clearly that the word of God says something and you refuse to do that because of your emotions, just know one and first and foremost that you would answer to the Lord. Oh, these dogs. Lord Jesus. Just know that you answer to the Lord. This dog. Just know that you answer to the Lord. And it's important that you do everything you do out of conviction. It's important that once you believe that this thing is right, you follow through with it. And don't be the believer that when it reaches emotional decisions, you start saying, ah, the Lord did not convict me about this one, when the word of God is clear on what you should do. And I know it may be difficult. I know it may be hard, especially because you love this person. This person is not a bad person. Do you understand? So I would really advise you to do this with the company of a Christian friend of yours or your spiritual leader. Let them walk you through it. And I want you to trust God, because at the end of the day, 2 Corinthians 5:15 puts it this way. Jesus died for us, that we who now live should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again from the dead. So it basically means your life is no longer your own. Jesus died for you. So the life you now live, this new life you have, is unto the Lord. So your decisions should honor God. Your inactions should honor God. And in days where it's difficult, God is able to be your strength in weakness. He's able to work in you the desire to do of his goodwill and of his pleasure. Right? So, and I just pray for you right now that however this topic is hitting you, it may be really sensitive for you. I just pray for help. I pray for strength, and I pray for the ability for you to make the right decisions with your relationships and with your marriage. If you are not in this situation in any way, shape, or form, I want to just pray for you that you'll be strong enough and empathetic enough to help people around you that may be going through decision phases like this, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you so much for sticking to this point of the video. If you have questions, please let me know in the comment section and I would respond to them in the comment section or do another video if necessary to respond. Again, I apologize for the background noise of this dog barking. I can't control him or her. I can't. So yeah, see you at my next video. Bye.